Our governor calls Utah the startup capital of the world. And it tracks. We've got a fast-growing, well-educated population and a buzzing economy. And just last week, Utah unveiled the Startup State Initiative, a resource portal for entrepreneurs. From step-by-step guides to a business plan generator, startup.utah.gov is now the first stop for starting or growing a business here. That's startup.utah.gov. Here's what Salt Lake's talking about. Our downtown skyline is changing, and today we're taking a tour de construction, plus how that construction is making it harder to walk places. And executive producer Emily Means made a quiz about Utah's policy priorities. Welcome to your weekly news roundup. It's Friday, March 29th. I'm Allie Vallarta, and this is CityCast Salt Lake. Good morning, Emily.
Good morning, Allie. Let's get into it. First things first, though, we need to attend to some business. And that is, I would like to invite everyone who is listening to become a member of CityCast Salt Lake. If you rely on our Friday news roundup to catch up on the headlines of the week, if you rely on our Hey Salt Lake newsletter to catch you up on all of the events that you're going to attend this weekend, I would love for you to become a member and support the work that we're doing. All you have to do is go to membership.citycast.fm and you can choose the level at which you choose to support us. And that's my pitch, actually.
I think one of the reasons, Emily, that these Friday roundup shows are so popular is because it's a very, like, we read the news so you don't have to. So if that resonates with you, we just need you to know that it costs a lot of money for us to do that. And so we need your help making it happen. There are benefits to membership, which extend from, like, ad-free listening to getting invited to member-only events, like our fun run down the newly constructed Nine Line, which we had to reschedule because snow in March. We should have seen it coming. And so if you become a member between now and May 5th, you'll get invited to that too. Think about it. Think about it.
Thanks.
On that note, let's get into the news this week.
Let's.
Starting downtown, because I gotta tell you, Building Salt Lake's Taylor Anderson was on a walkabout this week.
Good
reading
for him.
His story about all the different high rises that are contributing to a changing Salt Lake skyline with photos, I was just picturing him, like, just kind of on a walkabout downtown, like maybe a Three Pines coffee in his hand, yeah, like maybe an Ava's bakery scone in the other hand, just
a dream job.
Having a look around. And it's true, there are a lot of developments that are changing our skyline for better or for worse. Personally, I like that we're growing up more than growing out, but I know there are a lot of people who don't want their view of the mountains blocked or their sun.
Yeah, I mean, it gets a little shady in the middle of downtown, mm-hmm, right? Surrounded by all these high rises. But I think it makes us feel like a grown-up city, like a right proper city, Allie, for us to have these shiny buildings reflecting, you know, the sunset into the west.
Yeah.
I like it.
There are basically four that are in motion right now. Which one are you most excited about, Emily?
Yeah, every chance I get, I will point out the Astra Tower yeah, as my new fun fact to share with non-Salt Lakers, mm-hmm, which is that it's Utah's new tallest building. So that one's pretty exciting to me.
41 stories.
41 stories. And there's debate on whether or not it is a skyscraper. It might fall like a few feet short of that. But
whatever.
Who's counting, really?
This isn't Dubai. Okay, next question, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But this one's exciting, and Taylor reports that they're going to begin pre-leasing next month. Studios starting at $1,500 per month, Allie.
$1,900 for a one-bedroom, we should say. Because these studios are true studios. Like, you're sleeping in the living room for $1,500 a month. $1,900 for a one-bedroom, that is expensive.
Is it, though?
I don't know. It's kind of less than I thought the building would be. But
agreed.
Then as I said, because my gut reaction was like, oh, okay. And then as I sat with it, I was like, wow, that's twice what I pay for my one bedroom.
Right, right. I mean, we could do a quick, like, Rent Cafe Zillow check to see what a one-bedroom is going for in Salt Lake City.
I think it's probably, like, $1,400. Well, a studio, I'm going to guess, like, $1,200. A one-bedroom, I'm going to guess, like, $1,600 or $1,700 market rate. I actually think in terms of market rate, this is not that astronomical, but I think market rate does a bad job accounting for the actual cost of living.
Right, right. And I think that, I mean, like, consider where this is at, too. It's right in the middle of downtown.
Yeah.
Again, it is prestigious as the tallest building in Utah. So I don't want to say that, like, it's a good deal, but yeah, I definitely expected the rent to be much higher.
Yeah, dude, Emily, it is no secret I want to live in this building. Ever since it was announced, I have been very clear about the fact that I would like to live in that building. It's cool, it would be, man. Like me, Keontae George. who else okay. would be living there?
Just maybe trying, like, to befriend the whole Jazz team.
Yeah, like a Real Housewife might have a place there. Like maybe Whitney Rose leaves Daybreak and is like, we're moving to the Astra Tower. It makes it easier to, like, go out and swing. I will say, I mean, if you want to talk about amenities, like, on the, I think it's the 9th floor of this building, there is a private park. So, like, if you live here, you can go out onto your 9th floor private park and walk your dog and look down at regular people walking their dog at the Gallivan Center. Like, I don't know. I want that. And then I also think that maybe I would lay in bed at night being like, am I feeling
who
guilty?
Am I?
Yeah, who am
yeah,
I?
Am I bad?
Am I good or bad? I feel like the Zsa Zsa Gabor of Salt Lake City.
I really don't think the residents of the Astra Tower are going to have this thought.
No, they're not going to be thinking about how they live on the gravesite of Carl's Jr.
Yeah, exactly.
R. And R. before that, D's.
Oh, my God. Allie, okay, so this building is exciting. What's one that stuck out to you from Taylor's tour to SLC?
Well, the one I was really glad to see Taylor report on is, I can't remember what it's called, actually, or what it was previously called, but it's the giant tall offices on South Temple that are right next to the Alta Club and, like, above, what's that, Blue Marlin? The seafood restaurant used to be on the first floor of them.
Yeah.
They're kind of random. Right, I've never seen anyone go in or out of there, to be completely honest. No. Yes.
Isn't it?
Right on State Street. A couple buildings in from State Street on South Temple.
Right.
And one day I was walking downtown, this was a couple, maybe a month ago, and they had blocked off that section of the street. And I asked one of the construction guys, like, what are you guys doing here? And they were like, we're erecting a crane. I had never before witnessed the erection of a crane. Like, it is a crazy thing to put up a crane for construction. All that to say, the guy was like, what we're doing here is we're about to gut the inside of this building and renovate it to be apartments. And I was like, let's go. More of that, please.
This is nuts because, did you say it was an office conversion? Yes, office to housing conversion.
Mm-hmm.
And remember during the, you know, the depths of the pandemic when none of us were going into our offices, so all the office buildings were just sitting empty and we were like, what can we do with these office buildings?
Yeah.
And then eventually people started returning to work. But I feel like it was impressed upon us that it was going to be really hard to convert office space into housing. And now look at us.
And the other thing about this is that it feels like there's a lesson here because the developer that is the Texas-based, we should say so few of these developers are local. The Texas-based developer that is doing this is the same Texas-based developer, Hines they're called, that is supposed to be building the new apartments at the site of the former Pantages or the Utah Theater. And that is sitting empty because they didn't get financing when financing was good and hot to get that project done. And so, like, this is kind of an example of, like, the same developer is renovating instead of building new. Are we in an era where it's more affordable to renovate than build new now because of where interest rates are at and other financing mechanisms? Please don't email me about that. I'm speculating, okay? I'm speculating. But I do think it's interesting that the same developer is choosing to go forward with a renovation project. Because, usually the word is, like, it's more expensive to renovate. This is why buying a historic home is a nightmare.
Right, right. And with the office buildings especially, I mean, I think there was a feeling that, like, the layouts just weren't right. They weren't compatible with, you know, how people live in an apartment, but whatever.
That, like, doesn't make
gut
sense.
Gut it and rebuild.
Watch one episode of New Girl. Like, they so clearly live in a former office, and they love it.
Oh, my gosh.
I do think it's really fun, Emily, that they're going to call this building the Seraph, named after Seraph Young, who was the first woman in the nation to vote. She did it here in Salt Lake City in a municipal election in 1870. This is like the piece of Utah trivia you can't escape if you are a white woman.
I was wondering, like, how you just had that.
Are we
off the
born
top of your
with
head?
It tattooed on our bodies in this state? Like, okay. And I do think it's kind of funny because I'm like, did these guys roll in from Texas? And, like, I picture them sitting around a boardroom, like the Mattel scene in Barbie, and they're like, name a woman.
That's pretty good, because the building could have been named Mother in that case.
So true. Yeah. I live in the celestial.
Yes, yes.
Okay, give me another one.
Okay, well, I got to tell you, the rest of these buildings, they all kind of blur together for me. But one unifying theme I really enjoyed was mid-block crossings. Mm. And Taylor mentioned a couple of buildings that have already gone up. The Astor downtown on State and, like, Gallivan, across from Gallivan Avenue.
Which I'm obsessed with.
This is a great building, and one that is actually a truly affordable development.
Yep.
And the city put a lot of funding into this project to make it truly affordable. But one of the things I love most about it is the mid-block crossing. Yeah. And it connects you to Edison Street, which is, you know, that little street next to Copper Common. Mm-hmm. And you walk along there and there's, like, Rock Taco and Franklin Avenue. And then that crossing takes you all the way to Gallivan Avenue, which connects you to Gallivan Plaza.
Right.
And the concerts there and all that. So I am loving seeing these mid-block crossings, and this one in particular is exciting to me because it's very walkable.
One, we interviewed Jeff Speck on this show, the author of Walkable City, and we asked him what notes he has for Salt Lake, and his biggest complaint was our blocks are too long, and we need more mid-block crossings in order to A, slow down traffic, B, shorten up our blocks, and make our city feel more walkable and safer. So I love this. I love this. The other thing I'm obsessed with is on that path from the Astor to Edison Street is this little blue house called the Kramer House, mm-hmm. which is named after a man named Christopher Kramer, who was a florist. And he operated his floral shop out of that house and his greenhouses. Mm-hmm. And that, did you know that that little cross street it's on is called Floral Street?
No, that's really cute. Allie, you're just hitting me with all of the history.
I know.
Fun facts.
Well, here's the thing I'm obsessed with about it is that as part of kind of the development of that little area, the Kramer House is about to be not necessarily renovated, but, like, sort of converted by the same team behind Water Witch and Acme and Bar Gnome to host two bars. So there'll be the first floor bar is going to be called the Kramer House, and then there'll be a bar upstairs called the Florist. I can't even.
Yeah.
It's like, this is the kind of stuff that, like, gets me so hot for, like, the future in this city.
For urban planning.
We're renovating this historic home to be a bar. Like, lay me down.
Oh my God, Allie. Chill
anyway,
out, okay?
I can't.
All right, well, on that note, any other new additions to our skyline that you wanted to mention here?
I think the only last thing to mention is that in this story, we're told there will be a fix to the Whistling Tower. Worthington Tower, which is the mostly windows, is it sky high? I don't know. It's pretty tall.
It's
going
tall.
Up across the street from where Ken Sanders currently is, and that bookshop is soon to be demolished. It was whistling on a very windy day. I was having breakfast at Copper Common that morning, and you could hear it inside the restaurant, which was crazy.
Really?
And apparently the developers told Taylor and Building Salt Lake, like, we're working on the whistling. We're going to fix it.
So it's not like an included luxury amenity or anything like that.
I was thinking about it. I was like, would I rather live next to a whistling building, a barking dog, or a playground? Like, FMK. But anyway. No, I think that's it. What we should talk about is how all of this development is making our lives miserable in the interim. Because these guys, these out-of-town developers are not respecting the rules of the road.
No, they are not. And I mean, we could even start with the Whistling Tower as one example of a construction project that absolutely throws pedestrians into the street. I think it's Third South there. And I mean, Taylor was walking around. He did like a 6-mile tour of downtown. And I don't know how many busted up sidewalks he ran into. But this is a real problem that we are experiencing on the ground in this city.
Yeah.
Of course, maybe we're paying extra attention after a recent tragedy. There was a mother of five who died when her scooter hit a buckled sidewalk downtown.
I mean, the photos of that sidewalk, that thing is mountainous. Like, yeah, horrific. Just horrific.
Horrific. Setting that aside, I mean, pick a corner. Pick a corner. Right. Allie, I live downtown and I have apartment projects on both sides of me.
Yeah.
I cannot go any which way on my street without having to get into the street, which is Fifth South, essentially a highway. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, things are a mess out there. What's your experience been like?
No, I mean, there's a development on First South where the sidewalk fully disappears. Let's talk about South Temple, where the church is renovating the temple and have blocked off the sidewalk. Like the biggest, you know, a local institution, the biggest landowner in the state, an institution that collaborates with the city often on downtown land use decisions. Hello, they gave you the sky bridge. Could you at least give us back the sidewalk? Like, Fourth South, you want to park along Fourth South and walk back to Main Street? You got to do it on the side of the road. And mind you, the way that you're going to be walking to Main Street on that side of the road, you're going to be in traffic that is coming towards you. It is crazy to me that we just allow these guys to completely usurp our sidewalks. For me, on foot, it's frightening for a million reasons to be walking in traffic. But let's also think about people who use a wheelchair, people who have small kids. Like, for so many reasons, we can't just eliminate sidewalks downtown. And it also feels sort of like tragically ironic that it's in the name of building a more walkable city. Like, we often hear that these developments are going to lead to walkability. Density leads to walkability. And it's like, so in the meantime, we all just have to wander around the road to get where we're going because better days ahead.
Yes.
And the
yes.
thing is, the thing that we're talking around here that you and I both know, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners do as well, is that actually they are breaking a rule. Like, they are violating the city's code.
If you can't tell, we're real real mad about this.
Yeah.
And our producer, Ivana Martinez, was so mad that she wanted to get some answers. She talked to Salt Lake City's transportation director, John Larson, about what the city requires when it comes to construction and preserving a path for pedestrians. And what John Larson told her is that in downtown, listen, we're in pretty close quarters and construction comes all the way up to the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. The construction workers have nowhere to stage their equipment. So they use that sidewalk. They use that public right of way.
Now, we'll just have to figure something else out.
In return, though, the developers are supposed to have a traffic control plan to redirect pedestrians. Now, here's the problem. There is not enough capacity for enforcement, is what John Larson from the city tells us. And, you know, there's something like 4 inspectors they have to take a look at this, among other city issues. And so there's just not enough eyes on this problem. And so what happens is the only options for pedestrians are walk in the street or covered walkways. But John Larson tells us those are expensive and developers hate them. So we're just kind of at the whims of these developers.
Right. But there is one at the Astra Tower, I will say. Like, the Astra Tower along State Street has created one of those covered walkways. To me, they're such a New York City thing. Like, I feel like when you walk around New York City, you're in one every other block. But like, they have created one of those covered walkways that you can cruise through. I personally don't love being in them, but it's better than standing in the road.
Yeah. Completely. So if you're frustrated by this, just like we are, what John Larson said residents could do is lobby for someone to do full-time inspections of this. The budget season is coming up. The mayor will release her budget pretty soon, and the city council will then debate that budget and, you know, maybe throw in some of their own ideas. So that's one thing you could do. You can also report these issues as you run into them, and we will put a link in our show description directing you to where you can do that. But Allie, I gotta be honest, it feels kind of hopeless.
So this is a staffing issue.
Yeah, I mean, essentially. But I do wonder, you know, it does feel like, okay, the developers, they're doing something for us. They're trying to address our housing crisis or whatever.
Please.
And so
they're making money off of a housing crisis, an alleged housing crisis, tinfoil hat on. We have an affordable housing crisis. I don't know that we have an across the board. I don't know that we have an Astra Tower housing crisis.
Yeah. I think we need to definitely push on these developers to give us what we are owed, which is a place to walk.
Yeah. I mean, the city gets heat so often for its relationship with developers because our current city leaders are very pro public-private partnership. They think that that's a good way to get things done. It seems like finding a way to really enforce some of the rules around development would be a smart way to offset some of that, some of the public groaning.
Mother's Day is on the horizon, and the good news is that you can find everything you need at Harmon's. Whether it's a little something to brighten Mom's Day or a memorable spread, here are a few ideas. For breakfast, try Harmon's house-baked cinnamon rolls with freshly squeezed orange juice and a package of fresh-cut strawberries. If you're spicing it up with Bloody Marys, don't forget that Harmon's has an olive bar with over 12 different varieties. Now, flowers are the perennial favorite, and you can order online or pop by the store last minute, shop succulents, potted plants, and elaborate arrangements. May's flower of the month is the hydrangea. Very appropriate. Hydrangeas are fragrant and elegant. And if sweets are in order, Harmon's has added raspberry to their selection of brownie flavors. Find all mom's favorites at your local Harmon's or order online at harmonsgrocery.com. Epic Brewing is one of the OGs in building Utah's craft beer scene. But I am most excited about their recent adventures in canned cocktails. First, they released the Utah Mule. And as a big fan of ginger, I have been sipping those for almost a year now. But now, this April, we have the Utah Margarita. A delicious, locally fermented blend of real lime and agave. And they create alcohol by fermenting cane sugar instead of using tequila, which means you can buy Utah margaritas at the grocery store. Pick up a six-pack of Epic Brewing's Utah Margarita or Utah Mule at any local Harmon's or Trader Joe's. Or you can visit Epic Brewery on State Street in downtown Salt Lake City. They're open 7 days a week. And this fall, look out for the Utah Cosmo. Let's move on, because in the doc, I have mystery segment written here, Emily. Help me. I can't see.
Okay, here we go. I'm going to lead you into this. Scaling way up from broken Salt Lake City sidewalks all the way to statewide policy issues, Allie. The Utah Foundation, which is a nonpartisan policy research center, just released a new poll on Utah's policy priorities. Mm. And they do this every gubernatorial election year. Reminder that our governor is up for election this year.
Yes.
And they surveyed 650 Utah voters over the past month, asked them to rank 17 policy priorities from most important to least important.
Okay.
And now I'm going to ask you about these priorities. I'm going to have you.
Oh, this is fun, because I have absolutely no idea what they would be, because I also never get sent these surveys because I'm Canadian.
Full disclosure, Allie's Canadian. So, okay, I mentioned there are a boatload of issues. I picked five for you to rank. And okay. I would like you to rank the two most important and the two least important. Okay, here they are. Politicians ignoring voters. Great Salt Lake. Housing affordability. transgender rights and access, and state and local taxes. Which two are the most important?
And this is statewide.
This is statewide, yeah.
I'm putting transgender issues in the middle because I think it's a combination, like half the state would like us to stop legislating about trans lives and bodies, and half the state has decided that it's a crisis. Okay. That needs to be addressed. It feels like that's really so. Depending on your view of that issue, I think you have feelings, and that could put it in the middle.
Okay.
I'm going to put housing at the top because we know that housing affordability is a statewide issue. And I also think, like, if you're taking this survey in Moab, that's your number one issue. Okay. Even though for Salt Lakers, it might be maybe two or three. Okay. After that, I'm going legislators. Oh, that's hard. State and local taxes. I just feel like they're constantly cutting taxes.
They are.
But then, yeah, okay. State and local taxes is going to be two.
Okay.
It's going to be two because, I mean, we're in an affordability crisis. And
okay.
And then at the bottom, unfortunately, I'm going to put the Great Salt Lake. And I'm going to put legislators ignoring Utahns because I think actually outside of Salt Lake, there are probably quite a few people who feel like legislators are doing exactly what they want.
Interesting. Okay, so from top to bottom, housing at the top, state and local taxes, trans issues in the middle, legislators ignoring voters as the second to last, and then Great Salt Lake is the last.
Yeah, and that is
those are, like, that's your final answer?
Not my personal, right? That's me overthinking it.
Okay, well, hit and miss, my friend, hit and miss. Mm. Housing affordability is at the top.
Yeah.
Second, politicians ignoring voters.
We ride at dawn. We ride at dawn, Utah.
We ride at dawn. We ride at dawn. Middle of the pack was state and local taxes.
Stop.
And then the second to last, second to least important, Great Salt Lake. Yeah. Least important was transgender rights and access.
You know, and again, that's just me being brainwashed by legislators into thinking that this is something that Utahns think is a policy priority. I'm schooled by the realities of how sensible we actually are in this state. Okay.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I mean, here's my question. Should legislators legislate based on these rankings? Great Salt Lake was at the bottom, Allie. Does that mean that we shouldn't prioritize Great Salt Lake?
That's really, this is very know. Like what the train's,
I mean,
coming and there's kids on one track and parents on the other. Who do you save?
Right, exactly. So, I mean, obviously Great Salt Lake is a huge existential threat that we have in this state.
Yeah.
But Utahns broadly don't seem to think that's something we need to prioritize.
I wonder what this data would have looked like 2.5 winters ago when our reservoirs were at, you know, 40% and we didn't have the winter that we had in 2022, 2023. And like, you know what I mean? Like when we were just really getting hit with the situation with the lake.
Mm-hmm.
I would be interested, where did water fall? Can I open this up? Can I get in?
Yeah,
can I
you
see
can
this
open
now?
Up. Okay. Open it up now if you want. Shout out to Brigham Tomko, the Deseret News reporter, who put together this really great Twitter thread on these rankings. That's what we're referencing.
So having enough water other than the GSL is sixth. So it's medium importance. It's in the middle there.
Mm-hmm.
Air quality also in the middle. Oh, my goodness.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing about democracy, right?
Tell me.
Is that representative democracy is, I think, generally good, but I think it also has to be paired with expertise. And this is why we have presidents and legislators, but we also have cabinet secretaries and ministers who are policy experts because they can see how all these things are in relationship with each other. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So like,
yeah, I do know
if I say to you an issue is housing affordability is an issue to me, then like, I also think you can't really separate that from thinking about earning enough to pay for non-housing needs and politicians not listening to voters. Like, that's interesting to me because it's like, number one, housing affordability is an issue. And then number two, politicians not listening to voters. Well, we know most of our legislators are landlords. So those two are in conversation. Then we go down here to water use. When it comes to development, that's in conversation with what kind of housing are we building? What kind of housing are we prioritizing with the water that we've got to build, right?
Right.
Air quality. If we don't have enough water in the lake, like, to me, it's kind of hard to break these down. It feels a little like pop science. It's giving airport book.
What? Well, I think that's a really good point, Allie. And I mean, I was surprised to see, actually, maybe not. Homelessness, low importance for most Utahns. Ask a Salt Laker, they might feel differently. But again, homelessness connected to housing affordability, connected to having enough money to spend on things that aren't housing, right? All of these things. But I don't know, Allie. Like, I have to put faith in, at least at some level, in our state leaders, that even though, you know, Great Salt Lake isn't a priority for most Utahns, that we're going to do something about it.
I mean, I will say, looking at this list, it does feel like in some ways our legislators are deeply out of touch. So they spent the first 2 days prioritizing the issue that is wholly number 17 on this list of 17, right?
Yeah.
And I think that demonstrates that, like, where they're getting their ideas is not grassroots. Their ideas are not coming from Utahns. And they love to come on shows like ours and talk about how it's what they're hearing, quote unquote. But then it's like, really? Or is it what you were CC'd on an email from a think tank about? Because wholly right here, when it comes to legislating transgender bodies, it's number 17. Mm-hmm. Again, I also think there are two ways to read transgender rights, depending on how you feel about how many rights transgender Utahns should be having. So definitely that. Definitely they're out of touch. Definitely they're not listening, which voters also can see.
That's what they said.
Yeah.
And that's what they said. Number two issue. Politicians are not listening. I would love to hear. I mean, I wish I could dig through all of the responses. I don't know if it was just like, rank these, you know, in a multiple choice way, or if there was more information. I would love to know which issues voters feel like politicians are ignoring them on the most. And maybe it's wine and grocery stores. Who knows? No.
Seeing, it's the Jazz's defense. Seeing government overreach here listed number four is the most interesting thing to me on this list. Because I think that if I had to give the 2024 Utah General Legislative Session a tagline, it would be government overreach. It would be deciding how parents and their kids are talking about social media. It would be deciding how women and their doctors are talking about pregnancy. It would be deciding how kids and their teachers are talking about which bathroom they can use. It would be teachers making their lesson plans and being told what that should look like. I mean, at every level, the Utah State Legislature is legislating our day-to-day in a way that feels holistically intrusive. And to see that as number four, I think, is stunning because Utahns are smart and they know that doesn't feel right.
Mother's Day is on the horizon, and the good news is that you can find everything you need at Harmon's. Whether it's a little something to brighten Mom's day or a memorable spread, here are a few ideas. For breakfast, try Harmon's house-baked cinnamon rolls with freshly squeezed orange juice and a package of fresh-cut strawberries. If you're spicing it up with Bloody Marys, don't forget that Harmon's has an olive bar with over 12 different varieties. Now, flowers are the perennial favorite, And you can order online or pop by the store last minute. Shop succulents, potted plants, and elaborate arrangements. May's flower of the month is the hydrangea. Very appropriate. Hydrangeas are fragrant and elegant. And if sweets are in order, Harmons has added raspberry to their selection of brownie flavors. Find all mom's favorites at your local Harmons or order online at harmonsgrocery.com. Epic Brewing is one of the OGs in building Utah's craft beer scene. But I am most excited about their recent adventures in canned cocktails. First, they released the Utah Mule. And as a big fan of ginger, I have been sipping those for almost a year now. But now, this April, we have the Utah Margarita, a delicious, locally fermented blend of real lime and agave. And they create alcohol by fermenting cane sugar instead of using tequila, which means you can buy Utah Margaritas at the grocery store. Pick up a six-pack of Epic Brewing's Utah Margarita or Utah Mule at any local Harmons or Trader Joe's. Or you can visit Epic Brewery on State Street in downtown Salt Lake City. They're open 7 days a week. And this fall, look out for the Utah Cosmo. Let's do Pick of the Week and get out of here. Easter weekend. Big weekend here in the state of Utah. What you have going on, Emily?
It is. Well, I'm in charge of making biscuits for my family's Easter brunch.
You're not going to make hot cross buns?
No, but I have a great biscuit recipe if anyone is looking for it. I'd be happy to share.
I want it. Can you put it in the episode notes?
Hell yeah, I can, Allie.
Thank you.
Thanks for asking. But yeah, those are my plans. I got family brunch. What are your plans?
Well, I'm excited about the resurrection of the bunny hop, which for anyone new to Salt Lake, this is a 14-year tradition in this city. It was started by a DJ named Jesse Walker. And every year, the Garage on Beck opens its doors to Salt Lakers who either don't have Easter plans, want to swing by a parent or family member's house for Easter brunch and then go out and hang out with their friends, don't celebrate Easter altogether. And it's always a fundraiser for an organization doing good work. It's usually like $20. And it's just a massive day party. Like there's historically has been a brunch buffet. It's a huge dance party. Everyone dresses up in like bunny ears or bright colors or whatever. It's just a silly, super communal Salt Lake tradition and institution. And of course, what happened last fall is that the Garage on Beck had a terrible fire. And by the way, like if you try and call their number, the line is shut. If anyone associated with the Garage on Beck is listening to this or you have any information about how things are going over there, we'd love to share an update because for me personally, it is one of my favorite bars in Salt Lake City. And so I was happy to see that the bunny hop is being...
You said resurrected and that seemed pretty on the nose.
Yeah.
For Easter weekend.
The bunny hop is being resurrected at TF Brewing, which also has a lovely outdoor space.
Yeah.
Will it be the same? No. But it will be, and that's what matters to me. So I'll see you there, question mark. It is Sunday, March 31st, of course, Easter Sunday. It starts at 11 a.m. They're going to go until sunset, like 9 p.m. There's going to be an Easter egg hunt, food trucks, DJ spinning vinyl, which is fun. Tickets are $25 this year. You can only get them at the door. And all the support is going to benefit Mental Health America of Utah.
Sounds like a good cause.
Yeah.
Sounds fun, Allie.
I know it is fun. You should come after your brunch.
I might come because I am trying to do more things in this city. I am a total homebody. I'm trying my darndest to get out more.
Yeah.
And in the name of that, I would like to share with you something that I did this week that was nice. It was a really great experience.
You did it this week?
I did it this week.
Okay.
This very week. I went to a yoga class at Mountain West Hard Cider. And I learned about this through a bartender that I met at the Pearl. Her name is Kim. And she was like, oh, hey, yeah, I'm going to start hosting this yoga class at Mountain West. And I was like, cool, I hate yoga, but I love cider, I'll go.
Yeah.
And it was lovely. So she is hosting this every Wednesday at 6 p.m. at Mountain West, and tickets are $20. It includes a 5-ounce pour of cider. Hmm. So I feel like that's a nice deal.
Yeah, that is
and
a good deal.
It's just a really nice way to, I don't know, have a midweek reset.
Is it inside or outside?
It's inside. It's actually in that same room where they make the cider.
Oh, so that's
it's cool. They're kind of like, I don't know, soft mechanical sounds that aren't distracting at all and are just kind of like white noisy.
Yeah, dreamy.
It was really, really delightful. So
when are they doing it again?
Every Wednesday. So this upcoming Wednesday. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Awesome. I'd try that. Well, Emily, I hope you have a fantastic weekend. Maybe see you at the Bunny Hop. I'm sure I'll see some listeners at the Bunny Hop. And I'll definitely see you on Monday.
See you Monday, Allie.
That is all for us today here on CityCast Salt Lake. Our executive producer is Emily Means. Our producer is Ivana Martinez. Our newsletter editor is Therina Ria. And our host is me, Ali Vallarta. Music is by the local band Mitochondria. Sometimes we use music from All the Kimonos. We will be back on Monday morning with more from around this city. Have a great weekend.